Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Counting today, 5 days remaining in the summer flounder season at Nor'easter. Man, what a gut punch, but still give it a shot. I got a couple of days left. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We got September 21st and 22nd. Hit those muscle beds, hit that gnarly cover. There should be some flounder around. Believe it or not, still catching some. They were before the blow in the inlets. So there are flatties around. Hey, we have 6 days left in the archery deer season and those select wildlife management areas. The general season is going to kick off on the 28th. And don't forget, 9 days remaining in the September Canada goose season. And, man, these geese are flying. Have a really jammed show. Up against a break already. Just a reminder, the first annual Ed Markowski Memorial Shoot. Ed was a great guy, frequent guest on Rack and Fin Radio. The New Jersey Outdoor Alliance, Saturday, October 19th at 9 a.m. Where? At the great Red Wing Sporting Clays there on Suey's Landing Road in Port Republic. A $75 donation per person includes 100 rounds of clays at 15 station, lunch and cold drinks, and NJOA ball cap for each shooter. Bring your own shotgun and shells and no single shots. Go to NJOA.org for more on this. Well, if we have a guest on this about this in the next week or so. Really jammed show, man. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Lower your car payments today at iloveatlantic.com. Drive a brand new Jeep from $269 a month. New Wranglers, Grand Cherokees, Compasses, or Ram pickups from $269 a month at iloveatlantic.com. Choose from over 300 vehicles available, plus a huge selection of certified pre-owned vehicles that come with a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Brand new Jeeps from $269 a month. Let us show you why our customers are saying, I love Atlantic.com. 2024 Compass, 4-cylinder, auto, $269 a month, 7,500 miles, closed-end lease, 39 months, with 2,466 due at inception. Includes 5,500 in rebates. Total payments, 12,688. MSRP, 35,340. VIN number, RT152105. Residual, 19,083. Tax and tags extra, not valid with trade-in. $599
doc fee ends 9/30/20. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Well, with 6 more days left, I believe, until the end of the early archery bow season in, was it 27, 28, 29, select DMZs around the state. Statewide season opens at 28, and let's get it going. As if overnight, seeing rubs everywhere, although, was it this morning, right at the end of the street, little patch of woods right there, there's a buck, 2 does, a couple of bigger fawns, spots fading. He must have foot-long spikes in velvet. So it's happening. It is happening. I'm getting way too excited. Making sense of the sense, though. You're scenting options. You're going to be bow hunting. Warm weather. You could have some chilly nights if you had the cold days. This September into October, an amalgam of weather patterns. Never know what to do. You're hunting the ponds. You're hunting the field edges. You're hunting the deep woods. What do you got? Put in a call to our main man, our official Rack and Fin Radio Deer Scent Guy, Ronnie Jones, ACP, Rednecks Pride Outdoor Products, makers of scents and game calls, South Jersey boy out of Monroeville. So he knows the Central and South Jersey scenes. Although I'll tell you, his bear products, Mary Mother of God, I think they're all over the state of Maine. Sorry, Jones, I get too excited. How you doing, little brother?
you didn't take a breath, my friend. You didn't take a breath.
I'm too fired up, Jonesy. Come on. It is that time. Hey, Jones, you know me. Every day, every morning, my feet hit the hardwood. It's a good day. But this time of year especially, this is a counterpart of May this time of year. Jonesy, sending options. You know, our time's at a premium, particularly this show. You're going to be on the road. Your business is booming. Listen, by the way, if you're going to be at the Tuckerton Decoy Show next weekend, stop in to Ronnie's expansive book, everything and anything, and you'll get a tutorial there like you cannot. Ron, I see people there. They just, it's like you have a captive audience. They're just hanging on your every word, jaws dropped. You and Jennings, man, you hold court.
Well, you know what to say. If you can't impress with knowledge, dazzle with BS.
He said that, people, not me. Did you take that from the Rack and Fin playbook? Okay, Ronnie, scenting options right now. What do we have? Your cover scents, incomparable. You have the lure scents. What is the bow hunter going to be choosing right now? Predicate and worry hunt, weather patterns, and what? Go, Mr. Jones.
Well, I think your number one options right this second for most of the guys are going to be your dry attractants. And dry attractants are good just because you can get them into the ground, they stay there, and you create the habit in the deer. The key with a dry attractant is you got to be right on target. In other words, you go to where the deer are already going. You don't try to pull the deer. It's not a bait pile. It's not a a baiting scenario. Even though they will eat the dry attractants, the main goal is to create a place where the animal or the deer wants to come and check out every time he's in that area. And to do that, you set it right in the spot where they're going to be, no mm-hmm. matter what. That's the key there. A lot of guys will use the dry attractants where they had the minerals. You've already got the habit established. So that's the key. That's one of the key for the easy operations, if you will. A lot of folks in the last week have been calling in for deer stuff too, like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're digging holes and what have you there. That would be that's the first option right there. Your second options, and I remember a few years ago, I was actually doing one of those seminars for you. I can't remember where it was at,
mm-hmm.
but this is now is the time to get your mock scrapes in right now.
Mock scrapes already?
Mock scrapes. Yep.
Woo-hoo! Yep. Go, bro. Go.
When you get these mock scrapes in, you're not, again, patience. Okay. One of the problems with deer scents is everybody wants to, it's like trappers. Everybody looks at the deer scent and they think it's magic in a bottle, and it's not. It's not a tool. It's not something that you use to make the deer come to you, but the experienced deer hunter uses scents as a added tool, if you will, to create the situation for the deer to be there when you are. I don't know if that's making sense or not.
Gotcha.
That's the biggest thing. You know, like I guys call me up all the time and they'll say, I got deer 80 yards away. I can't get them to me. What do you got that can pull them to me? And I say, nothing. And they'll say, what do you mean, nothing? I said, nothing. What am I supposed to do? Move your stand.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You can't make a deer go where it don't want to go. All right. So the deer scent, what you do is you're using it to create the situation so the deer is there when you're there, and create the situation for you to get the shot if you want to take the shot. That's and ironically, the more you know about deer, the more you understand deer behavior, the more scents work. And then that's something that a lot of guys just can't figure out, because they're saying, I just want to put something out and then have the deer come to me. And I say, well, then pick your spot right.
Right.
And put your scent out, and then the deer will come to you. The key is having the deer there when you're there, not when you're not there. Your mock scrapes are great because what you're creating is a spot, and our mock scrape stuff is not made for the buck. It's made for the doe. And people say, what are you talking about there? Well, if I can get the doe there, make her interested in it, then the little dinks and the little bucks are going to come around. Why? Because they're a teenage boy looking at a 20. You know, they're saying, wow, yeah, no, I'm going to hang out here.
Man, they're looking for the cougars.
Yeah, that's it, man. And then the big old boy, okay, by the October 1st, he's starting to say, whoa, guys, you know, I'll tolerate you now, but it's going to come a time here pretty soon that I'm not going to let you happen. You know, a lot of folks don't realize that October is the month that some does will start to come into cycle and breed.
Mm-hmm.
The majority is going to be November. But those older does, some of those older does, they start to come into heat in the middle of October. I think it was right after the first full moon in October is when everybody starts to pick up. Full moon right now is, I think last night I saw the full moon. So that's going to put mid-October as your full moon, and right after your full moon is when your does are really going to start to, some of the does. Are going to start to come into heat cycle, and that's when things fire up. So you want to have your mock scrapes out now, so it's giving them 3-4 weeks to get on the scrape. That way, when they're coming into season, those older does, that kicks it off for the bucks. And as soon as she starts coming into season, she's leaving her smell there at that mock scrape. Your little guys are there either taking over the scrape or they're making a scrape next to it. And then the big boy says, nah, nothing's
going to
happen.
Okay, Ryan, the importance of the mock scrapes, I get that. Now, what about getting into the stand or to your blind, what have you? Covers, and now, again, listen, except for the more remote places, the Barrens or up there along the Kittatinny Ridge, something like that, up in North Jersey. DRC people hear smell people all the time, pretty much all the time. But Ron, they're this time of year, there may be a little edge to it. Covering up your scent or trying, you never can cover it totally. We've learned that. But what tactic are you using to get into your stand without having man scent, human scent all over the place?
Well, bar none, dragging. Okay, and this is going to throw you right off because you're thinking, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking pine, cedar, our forest and fields, and the good scents that mask your human odor. Okay, when you mask your human odor, you're not masking it. You're literally taking your human odor and making it appear like you was here, but you ain't here. Oh, okay. That's serious. And we make some great 2-in-1 cover scent, okay, or 2-in-1 odor reducer and all that stuff. That stuff doesn't take human odor away. It just takes your human odor and makes it appear that it's I was here, but I'm not here no more.
Okay. Fair enough.
But your best cover is the scent that you're using. When we was able to make TC Plus, everybody called it, cover scent, but it wasn't. It was an attractant, but yet it covered human odor like no tomorrow. Okay, mm-hmm. Why? Because it took the deer's mindset off of everything around it and put it right onto the scent.
Right.
At that point, it was a good doe and heat type odor. All right. The same thing. You could take something like our TC4DUF, put it on a leather drag, and a leather is, don't use cotton. Cotton dries out, okay? Use leather, use felt, use a deer hide even. And you take that scent, you put it on a drag, and you drag that in behind you. You're doing two things. You're taking your human odor, reducing it, not reducing it, making it appear like it's weaker,
right. Okay?
Taking the deer's mindset off of whatever it's thinking and focusing on the scent that's on the ground and then making the deer trail because it wants to. What you've done at this point is you've tunnel visioned or made the deer think tunnel wise. Okay. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're focusing everything on that drag. A dragging a scent is I have seen things that I just shake my head at and say, I just can't believe it. I have had deer downwind of me follow my drag right to within 10, 15 feet of me. And I'm standing there by a tree and saying, this deer should be. Well, now, again, that wasn't a 150 class buck. Okay. But what I'm saying is dragging a scent does a lot of good for covering up the human odor, not covering up, but you understand what I'm saying.
Sure. Yep.
I'm all tongue-tied this morning for some odd reason. I don't know what it is.
Man, you're thinking 170-class Buck Jonesy. Who are you kidding? Listen, join us on the line right now is Deer Scentologist, the official Deer Scentologist, Rack and Fin Radio, Ronnie Jones, president, owner, ACP Rednecks Pride Outdoor Products. Runner up against a hard break. Give that Facebook page, website, or phone number, please. Go!
It would be ACP. You know, I don't even remember what my website is. It's acpwildlifepro.net.
Okay, listen, people, listen. Besides the deer, this is the wood duck master. The wood duck master. But that's another. Ronnie, I have you already penned in for a rut scenting segment. You got that?
Yeah, we got it.
Okay, hey, safe travels. I know you're going to be giving seminars, whatever, and instructions around different states the next few weeks. So be safe. We'll see you soon. Hey, see you at the decoy show. Hey, listen, I'm putting the challenge out right now, Jonesy. Funnel cake eating contest. What do you got?
I know you're going to beat me, dude. You're going to beat me.
Jonesy, you take care, brother. I'll see you.
I'll see you, buddy. Bye-bye.
Dear Scentologist, he's the man that won the guy. Up against a break. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG. Talk Radio 95.5. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of Saturday, September 21st and 22nd. Again, you're tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and WPG 1450 AM. Streaming live in that slot, WPG1450.com. And from 7 to 8 a.m., you're locked into 50,000 megafar reaching wild to the Rack and Fin Radio message, 97.3 ESPN FM. Streaming live, 97.3 ESPN.com. Go to YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or download the WPG Talk Radio app to get to the Rack and Fin Radio podcast. Very special guest on the line right now. You know, the thing with the Jersey Shore, the hunting is going on. The saltwater fishing is really picking up despite the blow we had this past week. The future of fishing along the Jersey Shore, if these offshore windmills go up, these wind turbines, whatever you want to call them, an unmitigated disaster from this corner. Join us online right now to talk about it. Republican gubernatorial primary candidate Jack Cittarelli's on the Rack and Fin line. Welcome back, Jack.
Tom, great to be with you, buddy. Looking so forward about talking about these windmills off our Jersey Shore.
Jack, you've been against these from the get. Before we get to this, Cittarelli, you've been doing some sporting clays, some trapping, skeet shooting. What's the deal?
I was doing that recently. I enjoyed it very much. Got one of my best scores ever, so...
okay,
it's a fun day and a great way to get together with a whole bunch of other folks.
I'm not dropping that challenge for the sporting clays, course. Okay, Jack, let's get to, the windmills act. This is what I consider a boondock. Now, there's another company sniffing around that Orsted, you know, pulled out. They want to get this going. It's Jack. I've never seen anything of this magnitude fast tracked like they were doing. Can you explain that? How did this happen?
Well, you talked about the future of fishing along the Jersey Shore. It's really the future of everything along our Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
These things are bad economics. They're bad environmental policy. They're bad energy policy. And I don't know how it is we achieve energy independence when we're giving $1 billion of our taxpayer money away to foreign companies to put these giant wind farms off of our Jersey Shore. So it's not going to happen. Another lawsuit was just initiated recently by the folks on LBI.
Right.
For all the noise that's going to come from pile driving these columns into the seabed, hundreds of them, and as close as 9 miles to shore. So as long as we can get these lawsuits heard, they're very, very justified and very, very legitimate. I think we can delay things till I'm governor, and on day one, I kill the project.
Jack, you were at the fore of this. Now, here's the thing. What I have to ask you is, with, you know, ideally, Republican gains in both houses, you as governor. If the Democrats maintain control of both houses, can you do that? Executive order, governor? I'm totally ignorant on that fact. Do you have that authority?
I believe I can, because it's the governor that orders the various departments to put together the Energy Master Plan. And right now, Phil Murphy's Energy Master Plan is ill-conceived and irrational. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be telling people what car they have to buy.
Oh.
We shouldn't be telling people how to heat their home. The markets will take care of that at the appropriate time, and we shouldn't have these windmills off our Jersey Shore, which Phil Murphy has never told people what's going to happen to their monthly electric bill if we're depending on these things to produce electricity? So, again, it's bad energy policy, bad environmental policy, bad economic policy. And the people across New Jersey do not support these things.
Shout out to Jimmy Donofrio, former executive director, Recreational Fishing Alliance, who said, Jack, 4 or 5 years ago, these things were going on. The rates are going to go through the roof. But, Jack, back to the fishing, a billion-dollar-plus industry considering commercial fishing, recreational fishing. But, Jack, the ancillary businesses, the gas stations, the diners, the Wawas, the marinas, this would just, and the tourists, crush it. Crush it.
It would crush it. And you know what people should know, Tom, is more than 50% of our electricity in this state already comes from zero carbon emission sources. 40% from two nuclear power plants in South Jersey, more than 10% from solar. We're doing our part.
Mm-hmm.
We're better than any other state in the country. I don't know why it's our job to save the country or the world. And by the way, these windmills aren't going to do it. So we need a rational transition to the future. We need a rational energy policy. Those windmills are anything but.
Jack, what gets scary to me is how much money has been passed, who behind the scenes, what have you, that these things were being fast-tracked. I mean, that was like, anyone remember Secretariat going down the finish, you know, going down the stretch. I was scary how, okay, this is approved, that's approved, this is signed. That was nuts. Democrat Party mostly behind that, I should say pretty much all of it behind it, correct?
Correct, but mostly Phil Murphy. He did it by fiat, and I really believe it was to burnish his credentials with the so-called progressives. This isn't progressivism. This is regressive in so many different ways. So we need somebody that's going to be rational about our energy policy. And as I said, on day one, I'll kill this project, and we'll initiate a new master energy plan that makes sense for New Jerseyans.
Yeah, what surprised me is I pretty much gave it up as a done deal onto something else that's going to happen. The actual, and shout out to all those groups that grassroots, this was a pure definition, definitive of what grassroots organizations could do in putting the brakes, albeit temporarily, putting the brakes on this thing. Would you agree?
Absolutely, we're going to put the brakes on it. So, but listen, it's another reason why Donald Trump also needs to win. Joe Biden has been, his Department of Energy has been approving, and he and Kamala Harris support the approvals that grant the leases to these offshore wind companies. Okay, New Jerseyans don't want it. And our congressional delegation needs to be loud and clear about that. We've got a U.S. Senate race in New Jersey this year. This is a critically important issue. We need to get the feds off our back with regard to a project that New Jerseyans do not want.
Joining us on the Rockefeller line is Jack Cittarelli, Republican primary candidate next year, man, the gubernatorial election. There's several other guys running. Jack is from the Rockefeller radio line. Jack, I remember you 4 years ago. You were so close. You that had to be. Let me ask you this on a personal, professional level, Jack. Going to bed ahead and you wake up in the morning and fine, but you're 1 or 2 points, whatever. I mean, that had to be gut wrenching.
Well, listen, we were disappointed with the outcome, but certainly not disappointed in the effort. And the closeness of the race tells people we can win.
Yep.
And I'm guaranteeing it. We're winning this next one, Tom.
I am too pumped. Chitterell, before I let you go here now, listeners, this man has been from Sussex to KBA, all 21 counties. Chitterell, you've been everywhere. And the tenor is, again, you get the little pockets, you know, like some parts of Monmouth County, some parts of, oh, yeah, windmill, green. One thing I don't get, could you define it to me? Good-paying green energy jobs. What's that?
Oh, please. Listen, the best way to create jobs is by making New Jersey a better place to do business. Right now, it's ranked one of the worst, and that's because Phil Murphy has our business tax as the highest in the nation, and we're an over-regulated state. We can make this a better place to do business without screwing the taxpayer, the consumer, or the environment, and that's my intention as governor.
Save New Jersey, saltwater fisheries, nothing I can get from the pro windmilling. Okay, fishermen access. Saltwater recreational angler access, commercial fisherman access. What is it? Well, that's down the line. We'll figure that. We're working on that. For years, I could not get an answer. Just the vagueness. And that had us here very, very frustrated.
A lot of people don't realize how much commercial fishing means to the New Jersey economy. And not only that, we're hearing new reports that windmills can affect military operations and make us a little less secure. So these are all the things that aren't considering, including the fact that these windmills have never been stress tested for a nor'easter, which we get up and down our shoreline. We heard stories recently of a windmills falling apart off of Nantucket with fiberglass floating through the water, flying through the air and floating in the water. So these are all the reasons why the film movie should never have rushed this project.
I'm telling you, man, Jack is on the attack. Tutorelli, saving your travels. I'll run into you at one point. I'm all over the state. We'll do an Italian hot dog sometime. How's that?
Oh, I love that, Tom. We know there's a few of those stops in Jersey.
Marapala Madon. Jack, you take care. Be safe. Best to everyone. See you soon.
Thank you, Tom.
See you, brother. Jack Cittarelli, man, just a great guy. And hey, we'll have other ones on, but Jack is the man. We're talking about this, the impact, the tourism, we know that. But there's no answers. It's not going to cause any problem on the bottom. You're digging up nightmare. Again, I'm first one. I'll admit, whatever. Yeah, it's a done deal. That's going to be happening. That's a done deal. No, the grassroots, again, shout out to these organizations, LBI and other ones up and down the Jersey Shore. More power to you. This is a case, raise your fist and yell. That's an Alice Cooper album back in the 90s. Raise your fist and yell, power to the people. Stop the windmills. And what really gets my ass in the air, and that's a scary sight, people, you get some of these recreational, like charter boat captains, especially charter boat owners, that are all for it. Well, now, who's on? Are you getting duked underneath? It's your business. But be clean about it. Be upfront about it. Yeah. Okay, man. Oh, pontificating little toast. Jack Cittarelli. Oh, thanks for joining us. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
The WPG Talk Radio app is everything South Jersey on your phone and in your car through Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Local news, weather, and information updated around the clock from New Jersey's largest radio news team. Easy access to WPG podcasts and more. Powered by Smoker's Haven. You'll find the finest selection of cigars at any of their 5 locations. Stop in and let them help you find the perfect cigar to pair with your life. Visit SmokersHavenNJ.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris DeMeo. Vice President Harris on the campaign trail in Wisconsin Friday. She warned supporters of Project 2025 if former President Trump wins the White House.
Just Google Project 2025. By the way, can you believe they put that thing in writing? I mean, they put it in writing, they had it bound, and they handed it out.
Former President Trump has said Project 2025 has some extreme ideas. Meantime, early voting has begun in several states.
Voters in Minnesota, South Dakota, and Virginia all lining up to cast their ballots for either the VP or former President Trump.
Fox's Kevin Cork. Police in New Hampshire saving the life of a 9-month-old baby who was overdosing on fentanyl after the baby put the drug in their mouth. Police say criminal charges are likely. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Atlantic City Electric AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. We have a coastal flood warning in effect until 5 p.m. this afternoon, a high rip current risk in effect through Sunday evening, and a coastal flood advisory in effect from 5 p.m. this afternoon until 5 p.m. on Monday. For today, breezy with partial sunshine in the area with a high of 81. For tonight, cloudy, low 59. Tomorrow, cloudy and breezy in the morning, then a blend of sun and clouds in the afternoon, high 76. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Great weekend of September 21st and 22nd. Hey, happy. Well, the last time I saw him was 9 years old. Happy birthday to Ernie Inetti. Oh, yeah, from 425 Mount Prospect Avenue in Newark, way back. Well, last time I saw him was probably 1964 or 5. Found out he's a bankruptcy lawyer somewhere in this world. But, hey, man, what a great weekend we have. Super event coming up next weekend. Wait for this every year. It's going to be this is why I love this time of year. The 42nd annual Old Time Barnegat Bay Decoy and Gunning Show. Original name is going to be it's packed. It is absolutely packed. Big traditional weekend thing in the end of September. They have jitneys coming in. They have commuter buses. It really draws a 2-day event. It's mobbed. Join us online right now. It's good friend of Rack and Fin Radio. From what I understand too, expert fly guy with the Trowskis. It is German Georgiev. He's the chief naturalist with Ocean County Parks Department. He is pretty much the man behind the scenes here, getting it done for this event next week. It's seminars, duck calling championships. It is, when it comes to waterfowling especially, it is the bomb. Gurman, how you doing?
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm a week away, man. I'm already bouncing off walls here, Georgie. What's happening?
Oh, well, we're very busy getting ready for the show.
I know. I went by Tip Seam the other day in my trials, and there you had a whole crew out there already. Listen, it's right there on Route 9, Tip Seam and County Park, right there in Tuckerton. What's that, Lakeshore Drive? Plenty of free park. Sorry, Gurman. Go into the event, please.
Sure. Yeah, we'll have free parking at the Tuckerton Seaport at Freedom Fields County Park on Route 539, just after you get off the parkway, mm-hmm. and also at Pinelands High School, with, as you said, the buses taking people from those parking sites to the park where the show is.
And listen, it's the show, the two-day event is free. Check this out. New and antique decoys, hunting and fishing gear, collectibles, duck boats, hunting guide services. Ronnie Jones, the earlier guest, ACP Rednex Outdoor Products, will be there, among others. You have a creek boat ride at the Tuckerton Seaport. There's a dock dogs where that thing's working out. And right, decoy, Gurman, the thing that gets me is the decoy carving. You see, Melissa, it's just amazing stuff. You're into the whole bay scene. That's why Tuckerton used to be, the original name was Clamtown, I believe. This event, Gurman, yes. In the 42nd year, some growing pains here and there?
Oh, of course, yeah. So parking's always been a big issue. That's why we started having off-site parking. We couldn't mm-hmm. fit all the people coming to visit the show, which, of course, is a mixed blessing. But yeah, it's been very successful over the years, and we're very proud of it.
And Gurman, too, that listen, this is what really gets, I mean, the stands are the portable bleacher, whatever they put up, it's packed. The duck and goose calling contest. Now, from what I understand, the New Jersey State Duck Calling Championship and Casper, it's going to be at this event, correct? Is that going to be Saturday or Sunday?
That is, I believe that's Saturday. Mm-hmm. And that's the winner of that contest. They can represent New Jersey in the World Championship in November in Stuttgart, Arkansas.
That is amazing. Right here in Little Tuckerton. A huge event in Little Tuckerton. We're speaking with Gurman Georgiev. He is the Chief Naturalist, Ocean County Parks Department. Topic is next weekend's two-day event, the Barnegat Bay Decoy and Gunning Show. What gets me, watching, especially the youngsters, shooting from, listen, you can bring your shotgun, you can shoot from that snake box, correct?
Correct. And that's what makes our show different from a lot of the other shows all around the country, all of which are very good. I go to most of them. But our show's pretty much the only one that represents every aspect of waterfowling through its contests. Skeet shooting, not just standing up like people normally mm-hmm. see skeet shooting, but laying down in a duck boat in a hunting situation. We have hunting retriever contests.
I was just going to ask you that. Yeah, yeah.
So that's always very popular. That's something we've had from almost day one. The dock dogs was a little, it's not necessarily a hunting activity, but it's very popular with mm-hmm. the audience. And that's been missing from the show for a few years, but we were able to get him back this year. So
yes.
We're looking forward to that.
Listen, you see these dogs launch themselves? Whoa. Gurman,
breeds of dogs, too. Yeah. Not just, I mean, everyone expects to see Labradors and Chesapeakes doing that, right. But people will bring their little poodle or whatever. If the dog's got enthusiasm, they welcome them to that competition.
Gurman, I remember when I found out Poodle is actually a German name, but it's French poodle. It got bastardized down, somewhere, I don't know how many hundreds of years ago. And I had an opportunity to hunt over two mature standard poodles. People don't realize that poodles are water dogs, and they had one there the way it was groomed was for aquadynamics, I guess, make it get through the water. Gurman, that dog launched itself. I thought it would never land. I mean, that thing took like whoa. And one guy was telling me, he said we've been hunting with them for decades, so you never know what you're gonna see. And then the retriever thing. Amazing listeners, amazing dogger. I mean, everything from short hairs, Llewellyn setters, again, the labs. Gurman, it's a sight to behold.
Yes, and people don't realize the training and the abilities that these dogs have to do what they can do.
Gurman,
making hand signals and things like that.
Gurman, in the planning of this, I mean, you have exhibitors. I'm sure there's a waiting list to get in. Listen, there's food vendors, hence my challenge to Ronnie Jones about about the funnel cake eating contest. I was between the meatball sandwich. I think it was at the Tuckerton Presbyterian. Somebody does the meatball sandwich and the funnel cakes. I'm going to have to call Jonesy back and do a flip on that. But planning this, Garmin, going in between, yeah, I'm sure you have exhibitors, all types, all the outdoors that want to get in. How do you pick and choose as to what's apropos?
Well, we've tried to, basically, our main goal is try to be true to the theme of the show. So the things that are sold at the show have to have some relationship to hunting, fishing, or local nature and history. So we have decorative carvings of native to the U.S. So wildlife, right, and fish. But you're not going to see some of the, you know, stuffed animals and, right, sunglasses and things like that some shows have that are not, they're just kind of craft festivals or so forth. So, right, we try to keep it true to the theme of the show.
Listen, this is an outdoor gig. By the way, Gurman, will NJ Fish and Wildlife, law enforcement conservation office, is going to be there again? That's always a popular booth. People, you know, you rap with, yes, these guys and gals, and they're out there working for you. It's a good crew out there.
And actually, this year they're bringing a trailer that people, especially youngsters, can go into, which has educational displays on New Jersey's wildlife.
That's fantastic. Joining us on the line right now is Gurman Georgiev, Chief Naturalist, Ocean County Parks Department. Topic is next weekend's Barnegat Bay Decoy and Gunning Show, 42nd annual. Okay, Gurman. Okay, Gurman, we're up against a hard break here. Now, getting the youngsters involved, I noticed, listen, there's a big turnout of kids. I'm talking anywhere from 5-6 years old up to the middle teenage years especially. To me, those are the formative years, Gurman. The kids 11, 12, 13, that's when they're going to decide whether they're going to like the outdoors or, you know, nothing wrong with doing the social media geek thing, whatever. But I see you have a lot of keying in for the youngsters there. I mean, with the youth contest, what do you have? Go.
Well, we have categories in the duck calling contest for youths and the skeet shooting from a duck boat, as well as the various carving, the shorebirds, duck decoys. So we try to do everything we can to get youngsters engaged in the various sports related to waterfowling.
Governor, it was a couple of years ago. I said, man, who did this? And there's a youngster. He said, you know, you did that? I said, what do you like to do besides this? He said, shoot wood ducks.
And I'll tell you, one of the proudest moments is when I see in the adult categories of contests, young men that I remember first entering has a
wow.
Youth, and they moved on up. They stayed with it. And now they compete with any of the adults in the categories very well.
Gurman, the two-day event is packed. This is the Barnegat Bay Decoy and Gunning Show, the 28th and 29th next weekend. Please, you'll really, really enjoy it. Some good deals, too. You have some vendors there. You have guide services. I think shout out to Scott going to be the old Barney guide service. We'll book with him. Just great hunts. And conservation organizations as well. But Gurman, can the show get any larger? I mean, you're packed. Is it? Are you happy where it is right now, or are there plans for growth in the future?
Well, we don't have specific plans, but sometimes something comes along and surprises us, like the dock dogs when they first contacted us. We weren't even thinking about that. So sometimes you think you've covered everything, and then something new comes along. So, but we've gotten pretty much to the point where we've covered every aspect of waterfowling. But, you know, they were talking about other things, maybe moving more into fishing in the future to make it more of a sportsman show than just waterfowling show. So there's all these different options that we're considering just to keep it fresh.
Hey, Gurman, what about the tunes, man? You got some great little bands there. You got some music coming up?
Yes, we'll have local musicians both days playing primarily, you know, country, folk, music that's appealing to a general audience.
This is Music of the Pines. There's one, but yes. Music of the Pines. I'm a rocker from way back. You know, I go back to the Dave Clark. Oh my God! But girl, you know, that's really the essence in the fabric. That's why I love this time at that event. Listen, you're really, really going to enjoy it, and it's free, and you got free parking, and you got food. Tom. Those three things. Tom P's a lock for at least one of those days. German, is there a website or a Facebook page where people can find out? Maybe do you have a list of exhibitors yet?
If you go on to oceancountyparks.org, you can find a tab to click on for the special events and the decoy show. And the show program is in there, and it lists all the exhibitors, the music and demonstration schedule, the contest schedule, everything you need to know. Plus, we'll have a copy of that document at the front gate when you come to the show.
German Georgiev, thanks for joining us on Rock and Fin. You're always a great guest. Listen, you can beat German out there at Wells. Man, you got some pickerel in that lake, German. Mills.
Don't let the secret out.
There you go. And there you go. Okay, laying it down. Laying it down to German Georgiev. Okay, German.
Okay,
sausage and pepper sandwich eating contest. What do you got?
And also seafood. The Tuckerton Seaport is one of the nonprofit vendors selling food. So they're going to have all types of seafood, which always is a local favorite.
Yeah, my cholesterol's high with the seafood. I'm challenging you to that sausage and pepper sandwich contest. We'll talk about that off the air. You be good, Gerber. We'll see you next week, brother. Thanks for joining us.
Take care, Tom.
This guy, what a great guy. Just a great, his enthusiasm, they're out there to build. They're going to be building up all this week. You'll see out there the tents. They do a super, super job. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Whoa. What a busy, busy day. Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's Talk Station. This is South Jersey's Talk Station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
You're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Great weekend of September 21st and 22nd. The Youth Archery Deer Hunt is going on today. It's another reason why it's a great weekend. Good luck to all the youth hunters out there. DEP's Fish and Wildlife has a whole roster of youth hunting days. Waterfowl, deer, turkey, pheasant. Youth Pheasant registration is being taken now for the Youth Pheasant Hunt. It's going to be in November. Joining us online right now, very special guest is Joe Leske, Principal Wildlife Biologist, DEP's Fish and Wildlife. We're talking the Youth Pheasant Hunt, the registration, the birds being stocked. It's more than a weekend. It's more than a day, rather. Saturday, you have the whole fun. Leske's going to explain. I got too fired up for this. Watching these youngsters, it is really something to see. Hey, Leske, I get too fired up for this, and I'm not even eligible. Although mentally, you would say I'm a kid, right?
Aren't we all, or should we be, right?
Yep.
I can't read, I get excited about this, passing it on. I did these types of programs. I'm sure you did as well. So when you're able to go out there and be part of a program like this, it just kind of, fills your heart with glee. So. I'm ready to go.
So Joe, quality ringnecks going out there on what, 8 or 9 management areas across the state?
Yeah, so we have 10 wildlife management areas all the way, from top to bottom. 8 of those will be guided, and we're putting out about 2,300 birds on those 10 wildlife management areas. So there's going to be plenty of these beautiful ringnecks out there.
And this is a registration only. Registration closes October 15th, and there are no walk-ons. That's not allowed. I mean, this is really strict. Again, it envelops the quality of the experience. You have guides. You have Joe. I've seen some wonderful dog work here, man. These things is across the board, a win-win all around.
Yeah, so for somebody like me who grew up with German short-haired pointers, and then once they passed, I as an adult pheasant hunter, I didn't have a dog. So this is a great experience to work over some great dogs, and see how it's done in different ways. Whether these dogs are pointers or flushers, it's a great experience to see those dogs work. Oftentimes, the best part.
And, Joe, I saw a couple of, I don't forget who that was, a guy and a gal. They had, I think, was it called Llewellyn Setter or something? Just like this, or some water dog, Portuguese water or something that you never, you see your German wirehairs. Like, what is that? And, whoa, it was incredible. And the guy said, Tom P., it's in their breeding. It's in the training. And these things, some of this cover, let's just, go from Flatbrook to the north all the way down to Glassboro, Millville, Peasley, Winslow. You got some god-awful thick cover in there, man. I've seen some Britneys. I've seen some Britneys go, uh-oh. I don't know about going. Other point, I don't know about going there. And these dogs just busted headlong and, man, kicked some ass.
Yeah, the dogs are backing out of there. I'm not going in.
Okay, Joe, here's the dealio. Listen, the pheasant hunt is November 2nd, okay? And also, Joe, they start this a few years ago. It's also the following Monday through Friday, November 4th to 8th, because there's always leftover ringnecks around. And then also, Joe, what's this upland game bird hunt for the youth November 2nd? Is that a preserve thing? Go into that, please.
So those are on the 8 wildlife management areas, and we're partnered with New Jersey Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs, where
there you go.
You know, we have the registration, and that's what the youths are registering for now. We're already at over 120 youths. We generally get about 200 per year.
And,
yeah, we have about 50 or so mentors already signed up, so they're ready and fired up to go, but of those 8 guided hunts, this is where the youth will be kind of reminded of the 3 primary safety rules, because we want this to be a kind of set and safe situation. And then they hunt up until around noon. And at that point, those 8 guided wildlife management areas will open those up in the afternoon. However, the other 2, which makes up the, you know, the complete 10, you can hunt those at any point on that Saturday, as long as the youth hunter has a mentor,
right,
adult, you know, hunter. And then, yeah, that November 4th through the 8th.
That's a win-win, man. Oh, God.
Well, trust me, there are a lot of birds, not plenty. There are a lot of birds left over. So get them out there.
Joe, I remember it was last year, the year prior, a gentleman took his son and daughter. I think they were in 7th grade and 8th grade or whatever, and took them out of school for a day, midweek. I don't know if there's some sort of teacher. I don't know what goes on. I'm so divorced from, like, not real, but separated from what kids the school of it. And he's the Tom P. said, I've hunted North Dakota. I've hunted Nebraska. I've hunted Iowa. He says, there were more birds. He said it was just and they were alone. They were. Yeah. I don't want to mention the track they were on. It was a South Jersey track, but they were alone. He said the quality. And right now, these kids are gung ho, man. They just can't wait to get out and hunt. And they've parlayed that in the waterfowl hunting and deer hunting. So you planted the seed. When you have, excuse me, a great experience like that, the kids are fired up.
Yeah, it's a great education, right? You know, I mean, you can learn a lot of things out there. The number one part of it is being, you know, a responsible person. So,
right. And appreciating the effort that a mentor is doing with you, a guide with a dog. We're speaking with Joe Leske, principal wildlife biologist, DEP's Fish and Wildlife. Topic is the youth pheasant hunt registration is going on now. It's going to be November 2nd. Now, Joe, you say you're already up to 115. Do you ever, for lack of a better term, you ever sell out? Do you cap it at 200? I mean, what if you get more? Then you get the danger of being overcrowded. Now, what's the dealio?
So oftentimes with our R3 hunting and shooting programs is we are a little too popular, and we hate that, but we love it too, because that means that, you know, we're scratching that itch. So in this situation, when we have an allocation filled for a particular wildlife management area, then you'll see that that wildlife management area will disappear from the registration site, because we need it to be safe and we need it to be a quality hunt. So it's not going to be a bottleneck of hunters just piling in. It might seem that way when they show up in the morning, because there's one rendezvous spot, but then once you get broken out into the field. So as you well know, you know, we can't turn these youth hunters off by giving them a bad experience. So
absolutely.
And the way that the, you know, the present, future, and, you know, not the past of what the hunting, you know, culture was like, we're right in that wheelhouse of about 200 or so youths for this.
Perfect.
So we're good.
And Joe, again, the quality of the experience, I just wish they would do. I've been talking about this. You remember Jimmy Shasha from way back? And we talked about it, but it didn't get any traction. You talk about the quality of the experience, no overcrowding, whatever. What about, really, what are the logistics involved? What about, I'm just throwing this out, Joe, not because I want to go into some of the other youth hunts coming up. Just a thought there. What about a youth opening day for trout? You go to some of these streams and lakes, and it's literally shoulder to shoulder in some area. I mean, do it in maybe different parts of the state, maybe a few venues, three north, three south, three central or something, but give the kids a chance that they're not elbow that, and also battling with the cormorants, especially down here, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, in the Federation Convention that happened, I think it was in February or March, I know that was a discussion being kicked around.
Oh, really? Okay. Yo!
Well, I mean, you know, so now I'm on the hunting and shooting sports part of it. So we do have a fishing R3 program. So they'll maybe start peeling back some of the layers of the onions on that.
Just an idea. Okay, listen, today is the youth archery deer hunt. Now, again, we went into the pheasant hunt. Now, for waterfowl, North Zone youth hunt October 5th and February 1st. Down this way, the South Zone October 12th and February 1st. And the Coastal Zone, right across the road there, you have October 26th and February 1st. Deer Firearm, November 23rd. That's always super popular. And in the spring, April 19th for the wild turkeys. Lesky, a win across the board here, bro.
So I'm going to give your audience a little bit of a leak here. So speaking of that waterfowl youth day, so we are working, the R3 team and I are working on offering up a youth waterfowl hunt day, which would follow the South Zones at the Tuckahoe Wildlife Management Area. As you know, we have that managed waterfowl hunt there where they apply through the lottery.
Unless his registration for that ends the 25th. Yeah, a few days left. Go, sorry, Les. I'm just loaded with info.
Well, you know, it's coming out, and that's good stuff. You know, keep a lookout for that. We'll be announcing that through social media posts that, you know, youths can register for one of our six blinds down at the Tuckahoe Wildlife Management Area. And for those that don't know, these six blinds, there's during the season, you're only allowed to hunt them up until noon and only 3 days during the week. So that really takes the pressure off of, you know, the birds coming in. And it again, when we're talking about quality experience of hunting, and then, you know, down there, boy, the teal are.
Well, that's, I was just going to say, I was just that, and the teal are pouring in, man. Like, woo! It's like you have a fire hose. Oh,
so
it is
if I was only, you know, 40 years younger, I would certainly apply for it.
Me, make that, holy God, make that 58 years younger, Joe. 58 years on this end. Joe Lesky, thanks for joining us. Great job, the R3 program, DEP's Fish and Wildlife. I hope to see you soon, Joe. Well, maybe let's get together, do a pheasant hunt or maybe a quail hunt down at Greenwood or something. What do you think?
I'm in for it.
Okay, Joe, you take care, man. Best to everyone. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tom.
See you, brother. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin, right away long on that segment. Thanks to Chris Coleman, producer extraordinaire. Chris, you make this all work. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin.